While you're standing, the book of Psalms, the 40th chapter, it's an honor to serve God, to love God, and to, amen, walk in, talk with Jesus, amen, amen. I believe the songwriter said every day, walk and talk with Jesus, every day. He said, I want my life to be a reflection of what he want me to do, amen. And truly God is blessing and keeping. I thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. Thank God. Amen. That God has showed himself mighty in our lives. Amen. It is a blessing to know that you're in the land of the living. And even though, amen, times seem different, and amen, as you start to get older, you start to recognize that, amen, that things aren't the same as they used to be. Amen. Things aren't the same as they used to be. Amen. And times have changed. Amen. But Jesus said, if you just look outside, you could tell that the changing of the season. You see the leaves change. Such is the time when the Son of Man shall come back. Amen. If you just watch. Amen. If you've been looking, you'll know Jesus on his way back. Amen. 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 If you've been watching and listening, you know that there's something going on. There's something in the atmosphere, right? Amen. I give honor to all honor is due. Thank God for my wife. Amen. Love her, love her, love her. Thank God for her. Amen. Amen. She's a little upset with me because, you know, I've been at my second love for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I've been a little busy. Amen. Had a lot to do. Amen. But, you know, that's how you take care of the first love. You go to work. Amen. Amen. My daddy told me, amen, that God told the woman he loved her, and the woman said, prove it. Amen. Prove it. Amen. And so, yeah, since the proof is in the pudding, amen. Amen. If a man don't work, don't let him eat. There's all type stuff that we learn from the Holy Script, right? So, amen. But I'm back now. And Psalms, the 40th chapter, the first three verses. Amen. The Bible declares, amen, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You may be seated. On your way down, tell somebody, God got me out of this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God got me out of this. I don't know what your this was. I don't know what your this is. Amen. But he'll get you out. Amen. God got me out of this. Today, we're allowed to peek into these verses, which leads unto the heart of King David. Scholars think that Psalms was written during the time David was running and hiding from Saul. In the text, David, he is telling us how the Lord lifted him out of the miry clay and placed him on a rock and put a new song, not just any old song. Hey, I know y'all got your song. I don't care what's going on, Pastor could be preaching, but, you know, it might be your dial tone or whatever. Anything could be going on, but if you hear your song, just change the whole atmosphere. Hey, man, you be walking around a party. Man, this party dead. All of a sudden, the DJ put your song on. Not mine, not hers, but yours. And all of a sudden, the party ain't so bad no more. Why? Because it's your song. It's a new. I don't care. It's brand new every time you hear it. Y'all know I'm. It's bad. It's brand new every time you act like it is. Hey, amen. I done seen folks sit down the majority of the night. And then all of a sudden, just a little, just one note, they recognize the intro. Probably understand. If it was records, they would know it. Oh, that's the static of my song. Y'all remember when we used to have records? And you hear that. Oh, that sound like, that's it. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. He is telling us how the Lord lifted him out of the miry clay. David not only testifies about his life, but he's foretelling of the mission, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. The determination of David. Y'all understand, David was determined to do something. David had a call on his life. David was anointed as a little boy, yet he had to grow up. Some of y'all know God got something on you, but you still ain't grew up. I hope I ain't stepping on your toes. Because, you know, I really mean to get the whole foot. Amen. Amen. I don't want your toes. I don't want no Kunta Kinte's running around here. I want the whole foot. Right? So David's determination, if the truth be told, David had a mission to fulfill. And it seemed that David's life was in a total wreck, a mess. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know God got something for you, but you seem like you headed the wrong way. You know you've been called out to be put in. Put me in the game, coach. You know you're ready to go, but it seems like your life going the wrong direction. Seems like you're not where you should be to get where God wants you to be. Man, I remember telling my parents, God, I need you to come to see me at my football game. Now, you know, I knew it was kind of impossible because my dad preached on Sunday and had a little football game on Sunday morning, right? And I don't know what happened. He must have been going to pick somebody up. Saw our little team out there, and he stood out there, and he saw my number on the bench. Do you know how bad that made me feel? Now, he was just glad to be able to tell me, I saw you. He ain't seen me doing nothing, but he saw me. And I tried to explain it away. Look, I'm on offense. The defense was on the field. Well, why was everybody else standing up? Supporting the team. Why was you sitting down, pine riding? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Seem like you excited because somebody coming to see you, but you're not engaged. You're not in the game. David said that he was in a horrible pit. I don't know what kind of pit you got, but obviously it's a pit. So David, the mission of David, David was chosen by God to lead. David was a man after God's own heart. But David, although God called him, he was still a child. He couldn't fulfill his duties as king until Saul was eliminated from his position by death. So David was called to be king, anointed to be king, and couldn't be king till Saul left. Now, that poses a problem unless you're a murderer. Well, David hadn't arrived there yet. And David ran from Saul, and he waited patiently for the Lord to incline his divine ears unto his cry. Waiting for the Lord is a great part of your life, Christians. Say, folks, waiting on the Lord is a big part of your life. Why do I say that? Because if you don't ever learn how to wait on the Lord, you're going to be a wishy-washy type person. See, let me make this clear to you. God called you one day. You ain't supposed to pastor the next day. You might want to wait on the Lord because God called you. God saved you today. Now you want to teach Sunday school tomorrow. Wait on the Lord. Yeah. God give you a job. Now you want to be the manager. Wait the Lord. Amen. There are at least two essential elements in the way that you should wait. Don't just wait, but you got to have these two essential elements in your wait. You might want to write these down. This will help you. It'll bless you real good. Two essential elements. The first one is humility. And the second one is hope. Look back at the book of Psalms 37 and 9. Evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they will inherit the earth. You might want to wait. Your inheritance will be great if you just wait. Have you ever been in a large waiting room? Anybody ever went to the waiting room? You got a doctor's appointment. Your appointment's supposed to be at 10, but the doctor running late. And all of a sudden, the room starts to fill up with folks who got appointments too. And who you think in there acting indignant? Them that don't have no humility. They got an appointment, but they don't have humility in their wait. How dare you make me wait in the waiting room? Are you with me? Why you think they call it? Hey man, they, if you had been reading and watching and listening, they already warned you that it's the waiting room. So as a man or woman of God, you got to put some humility in your wait. Don't get ahead of God, because if you get ahead of God, anything's something to happen to you. Amen. Goodness and mercy behind you. You might not want to get ahead of God. Might be some other stuff in front of you. Don't miss that. It'll go right over your head. So wait on God. So those that are in the waiting room and they're a little impatient and they're feisty and they're telling the receptionist off, who really ain't in control of nothing. You know what I'm saying? The receptionist can't help you. She waiting on the doctor too. Are you with me? Say, folks, don't make a fool of yourself. Don't make yourself be shamed in the waiting room. So while you waiting on the Lord, exercise some humility. God, I know it's coming. I see it's on its way. I know you can do it for me. God, give me the skill to wait on you. All right? The cries of David while he was in the waiting room. You know, sometimes there is no other alternative but to cry. I know, especially us men, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I'm a soldier. I'm willing to fight till I die. But there's some things that can go on in life that'll make you so help me cry. They'll have you somewhere stealing away, crying. I believe that's why God loved David so much, because Dave cried. Yeah. Ain't nothing like a crying man. The cries of David while in the waiting room, even though he ain't have no other alternative. Some of us are in jams that we really can't get out until God get us out. One of the reasons God loved David so much was because he cried so much. Psalm 6:6, I am weary with my mourning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. Psalms 56:8, put my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Indeed they are, because blessed are they that mourn. It's a beautiful thing when you're broken before God. When a man is genuinely broken before God and cries out to God. Why? Because God will answer your childlike prayers. Now, I ain't telling y'all to get weak and become crybabies, men. I like to be around strong men, right? Because iron sharp as iron. Amen. Tin get messed up trying to sharpen iron. You know, tin is kind of sensitive. Aluminum, it's kind of soft. You know, so iron sharp is. Listen, but in the meantime, while iron is sharpening iron, there's some things that can go on. I know we ain't supposed to tell y'all that. You know, I was raised, but men don't cry. Yeah, that's a lie. Don't cry in front of you. You know, ain't no sense stroking out of here when you can stay here. Amen. Somebody in here knows what it feels like to wait patiently on God and pray for an answer when life issues try to set you back. Your steps back are only there for God to take you forward. Your steps back are positioning you for comeback. You know, the word tells us, for we wrestle. And I was talking Wednesday night. I let them know wrestling is a sport where stalling is a problem. You don't, it's aggression. You don't get to take steps back. They call you for stalling when you're going backwards. You know that Michael Jackson stuff is cool for the stage. But in the arena, that ain't cool. You don't get to do no backsliding. It's aggression, it's forward, it's progress. But in the midst of that, there's a waiting. And let me tell y'all something. Waiting ain't like, you know, you might think that waiting ain't, well, I just sit right here and wait. No, not that kind of waiting. You been to a restaurant lately? Who y'all getting mad at? Oh, the waiter. The waiter bring you the food, and if it ain't right, we blame the waiter. But the waiter ain't made nah slice of bread. The waiter just brought it. He might have took the right words back. I want bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich on wheat bread. And the cook put it on sourdough. And we get sour with the waiter. and the waiter is like, and they got a smile and wait patiently on our sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, argumentative, non-waiting self. I don't know how I got there. Amen. And the waiter's like, yes, sir, Pastor Jones. You're sure acting like a buffoon, but we'll take care of you. And then they get in the back. Now, he know I don't cut no bread, slice no bread, cook no bread. Wheat, sourdough. I know the difference between wheat. So David's biggest, y'all got to understand this, because who you surround yourself with is so important. And let me show you this. David's biggest obstacle was his best friend's daddy. How in the world? This tells me that you got to watch the people around you closer. His best friend's father wanted him dead. You got to watch them folks around you. That's why the Bible tells us to know them that labor among you. His best friend's father was trying to smoke him, kill him, dead him. And he found himself waiting on God. Jesus was a master and waiting patiently. Y'all remember he was 12 years old? He in the synagogue. His mama come and say, hey! He said, no, you, I must be about my father's business. But he still went with her. And he went back, did what she told him to do, until his time came. So from 12 to about 30, he was waiting. Could you imagine knowing that you created all this, chose the woman that just scolded you in public, even though you in there having a good time, astounding the scholars, the scribes and the Pharisees sitting there listening, because you know all that they think they know. Except you know it on a whole nother level. Got insight they wish they had. And then the woman come in. Boy, why would you entreat us this way, son? Know ye that I must be about. Now, mama, I love you, but you know who my daddy is. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Y'all got to come to grips with. I'm waiting, but you got to know who your daddy is. And while you're waiting, you know that your daddy's going to come through in the clutch. He's going to come through on time, and he's going to pull you out of it. I believe they used to say he may not come when you want him. They could have easily said he may not come while you're waiting. But he's right on time. Because it's in the wait that you're going to get some strength. So remember, Luke, you can find that in Luke 2 and 49. So his hour hadn't come yet. So he had to go back to waiting. God was in charge of his timing. So Jesus also had a cry in him. Jesus also knew ahead of time that God's program would include humiliation and suffering, the agony of death. That was where the cry for deliverance comes in. We can identify with the horror of Gethsemane experience when he cried out. The cry from the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if thou art willing." Now, you know, flesh don't want to die. Let me remind you of something. Flesh will get up. Flesh will get dressed. Flesh will be on time for Sunday school. Flesh will put the most money in the Sunday school basket. Flesh will pay its tithes. Flesh will dance. Flesh will shout. But flesh don't want to die. Y'all know that? Flesh will do what it's told to do. But, you know, flesh don't want to die. Flesh don't want to get out the way and let the Spirit of the Lord. That's why we try to make rules that please the flesh. Pastor, let's have church online. I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought about it. I just couldn't hear nobody pray. Amen. So, the cry on Calvary, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" All of us at one time or another will shed some sincere tears. You have been in a situation where naturally you couldn't do nothing about it. You done got yourself in a position where you put your life in another man's hand. Anybody ever stood in front of the judge and try to explain to him why you were speeding? Why you wasn't speeding, but the man said you was speeding? Amen. And the judge got the red light camera. "But your honor, I wasn't driving," but it was your car. y'all been in that situation before? You ever been in a situation where you couldn't do nothing about it but hope for mercy? So, well, let me give you some good advice. You ever been in a situation where you couldn't stop sinning, wanted to stop sinning, but couldn't stop sinning? You ever been in a situation where you had to can't help it, wanted to help it, but couldn't help it? May I submit to you, God got me out. May I submit to you, God will get you out if you just let him. God will get you out of the mess. David said, "I was in a horrible pit. My feet was on the miry clay." But he brought me out of the pit, took my feet off the miry clay, and the songwriter said, and placed them on the rock to stay. In other words, I'm not worried about the clay. I go to the rock. My salvation. I'm not going to be walking on clay no more. No, if you know it, but clay not good to walk on. Some clay softer than the other. And you might get a nice step, but then you might go too deep. And by the time you pull it out, your shoe might be left in the clay. You better hope you got some tie-up shoes, because when you pull it out, now you're barefooted. And no telling what you might step on. Might have clay with glass on top. Clay with rocks on top. No wonder they say kick rocks. No telling what's in the clay you walking on. But my God will pull you out of the miry clay. My God will get you out whatever mess you in. David proclaimed that he took me out of a horrible pit. I don't know what kind of pit you've been in. I only know my pit. And all I know is the God I serve is a master at snatching folks out of pits. Well, David describes himself as being in a horrible pit. The word horrible means roar, din, crash, uproar, turmoil. Pit refers to a dungeon. A dungeon. You ever been in a dungeon? Dungeon, they don't make them no more, I hope. A dungeon. This has the ideal of being trapped in a place of torment. This is what the enemy did to Jeremiah when he proclaims destruction upon the city. They let Jeremiah down in a dungeon, in the mock and the miry clay to die. Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, "Please let me go, because there's no food there, and he'll die of hunger." Ebed-Melech went forth and retrieved Jeremiah from the pit with his old rotten rags, which he used as a rescue line. He tied up some old rags. He gets the prophet out of the pit. See, he gets him out the dungeon. There are things you're going to go through. Nobody can explain it. Some of them we caused ourselves. There are some things in our life that's fruit. Might as well revisit this. Fruit can't be prayed off you, fasted off you. You can't rebuke fruit because you can't rebuke God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also. You can't rebuke fruit. So there's some things you're going to go through, might be self-inflicted. But then there's some things for your edification. What do I mean? There's some things that's going to build you up. I went through them so I can tell you about it. I went through it so God could get the glory out of it. I went through it so I can get your attention and let you know that there is nothing too hard for God. David speaks as one who is wounded by the problems and the burdens of life. But God reached out of him, even in that horrible pit. God reached out to him in that horrible time and extended his David. Man, David went through some stuff. Stuff y'all ain't been through. David just tells you that he won the fight. But let me make this clear. The bear didn't just give up. The Bible declares David killed the bear. Trust me, the bear didn't just roll over and die. The Bible said he killed the lion. The lion didn't just roll over and say, "All right, you David, I'm going to lay down for you." Wrong. Wrong. David had to fight the bear. David had to fight the lion. But the God he served gave him the ability. See, that's why Saul said, "Well, if you done did all that, if God done anointed you to kill a bear, Goliath ain't a problem. If God anointed you to kill a lion, Goliath, here, take my armor. I want them to mistake me. You got my armor on. I want them to think the king did it." But David said, "No, it's too big for me." Saul was a tall man. And David said, "No, let me go handle this. Because I want them to know that the God I serve is going to deliver me and all y'all." Yeah. Listen, the king ain't got nothing to do with what God going to do. God will take you out of the midst of whatever you in and show everybody around you, your backslidden friends, your unsaved neighbors, and let them know that no matter what you got yourself into, God will get you out of it. The phrase, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, indicates that God did not just see what David was going through, and he did not just listen to David talk, but he did something about it. Let me tell y'all something. There's some stuff you can go through that when you get involved in it, if a pessimist see you, if they walk by and see what you in, he would tell that, that guy must be a sinner. That's why he in the pit. Y'all see where I'm coming from? Pessimists walk by and tell that sinner that he's going to die in that pit. Now, if an optimist walked by and saw some of the stuff I was in, he would tell that sinner that he seemed worser. If a realist, y'all know some folks, yeah, I just keep it real. I'm keeping it real. If a realist walked by and saw some of the stuff that the enemy had me in, he would tell me, just accept this pit, brother. You in too deep. Well, that's how they work. If an atheist came by, he would tell me, you ain't in no pit. It's just a state of mind. Because, see, they don't believe nothing. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That tells me you don't know nothing if you don't believe in God. You ain't even began to have wisdom. But if when Jesus walked by, saw poor old Tim in a pit. Let me explain to you how Jesus works. He didn't just see me in the pit, tell me about the pit, but he saw the pit, clothed himself in humanity, jumped in the pit, showed me how to get out the pit, got me and him out the pit, made a way that we all can get out the pit so we can live like we are his servants. That's the way our God works. He don't see you in a mess and tell you about the mess. He tell you you can get out the mess. If you put your trust in Jesus, everything will be all right. So when he died, yeah, he went in the tomb. Yeah, he came out the tomb. Yeah, he went back to heaven so he can make intercessions. Now he sits on the right hand of God. And when things get too bad, he stand up and tell God, this is my beloved son. He's mine. I'm keeping him. Yea, though he walked through the valley and the shadow of death, he don't have to fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. That's why David couldn't help but write songs. He couldn't help but write songs. Songs like, I will call upon the Lord, for he's worthy to be praised. I will call upon the Lord, so shall I be saved from my enemies. That's why David couldn't help it. When you get to doing something for God, you'll find yourself in situations that got other folks scared. But David said, I will call upon the Lord, for he's worthy to be praised. I will call upon the Lord, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. Let God arise, and my enemies be scattered. No matter what you're going through, there ain't a pit too deep. There ain't a situation you done got yourself in that my God can't get you out of. Basically, he came to get you out. Yeah, some folks will tell you, well, you know your situations, they should make you better, not bitter. Well, I'm working on switching them letters. Because you know there's some stuff folks will do to you, and they hope it make you better before bitterness seep in. Folks will treat you bad and hope you forget. Help me, Holy Ghost. But the pit has some redeeming qualities. See, Joseph went in a pit. Joseph wound up in a palace. Yeah, but it started in a pit. But you know what I found out, saints? That Reuben got him out. Y'all know what Reuben means? Think about it. Praise. It'll get you out. When you find yourself in trouble, sing a song unto the Lord of your salvation. Start singing in the midst of your trouble. Start knowing who you serve and who you're with and who saved you and who delivered you and how I got over and so look back and wonder. See, this ain't your first pit. That's the incredible thing about life. First of all, you've been going through little pits all along. Amen. Hey man, I done been through some stuff. I had been through some little stuff till I got married and got a family, and then stuff got bigger. Yeah. First it was just pitfalls. But then it became horrible pits. Hey man. Hey man, and I'm sitting in Sunday school and I got biblical revelation because, you know, man will try to remind you of who you used to be. Yeah, 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 but Brother Hamilton said, told us, look, I was sick back then. I've been healed. I've been delivered. I've been saved to the utmost. I ain't sick no more. I don't have to act like I'm sick. I ain't scratching. I ain't itching. I ain't in pain. I ain't sick no more. I'm saved. When he said, hey, man, when they guy told me that, I told him, yeah, I was sick back then. I was coughing up some stuff. But you know what? I coughed it up and out. It's out of me now. I got joy down in the uttermost, down in the innermost, down, 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 down. Everyone's standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That just blessed my soul. I said, that just answers all the questions. I was sick then. You ever been sick? Y'all know something? I had the swine flu for a week. Didn't miss nine day of work. Came to church Sunday and Wednesday. Laid hands on a bunch of you folks. Didn't give it to none y'all. I know that ain't no word, but it sound good to me. Didn't give it to none y'all. Folks was in the prayer line. I'm thinking to myself, I ain't never seen so many people in the prayer line. And I'm sick. And you know how you go to the doctor and they swab you? Say, well, preliminary tests say you ain't got it. A week later, they tell me, yeah, that was swine flu. Well, y'all should have told me before God healed me. Because it's too late now. I've been praying for folks, going in folks' house, hooking up phone lines, all in the baby room, the air, all in folks' basement, upstairs, all in their house with the swine flu. But you know what I know? Swine flu ain't got nothing on Jesus.